Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And we are coming to you live
from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Folks, if you need a Rocket Mortgage in real time, if you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, remember this. Rocket can. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. Home solutions that fit your life. Rocket can, folks. Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio. And also reminding you, tomorrow, the NFL is on CBS, and there are plenty of marquee matchups on the slate, including early action between the Chargers and Chiefs and an AFC Central battle. What? AFC Central? Essig! Essig's trying to get Doug on the phone right now. Essig, did you write this copy?
I did not. I take no responsibility.
An AFC Central battle featuring Burrow's Bengals and Big Ben Steelers?
Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
An AFC Central battle as Sam Weish and the Bengals take on Bill Cowher and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Later, the Jets traveled a mile high to take on the Broncos, or the Dolphins clash with the Raiders. It all begins noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with the NFL Today. Tomorrow, the NFL is on CBS. And in 1993, the NFL was apparently on CBS. AFC Central? They must be checking to see if I'll just read anything there. It is an AFC North battle, not an AFC Central battle. Get to the phones coming up in a bit. Also have to question my patriotism. Right now we got to go to the hotline. Welcome in one of my very favorites. And I say that all the time about a lot of different guests. This one's actually really, really true. He has a new book out. It is called The Road to Ohio State, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Buckeyes Recruiting Trail. He is a fabulous writer and a very good human being, ladies and gentlemen. Doug LaMaurice joins us from Cleveland.com and an author and, of course, a college football writer who does cover primarily the Ohio State Buckeyes. Doug, thank you very much for joining us.
It warms my heart, Ken, to jump on and hear you yell at somebody. For it just, I love it.
Oh, I wasn't. I don't know who I was yelling at. I'm not yelling at anybody in particular. It just said, on my read, it said, tomorrow, NFL is on CBS, and there's plenty of marquee matchups on the slate, including early action between the Chargers and Chiefs and an AFC Central battle.
Central, yeah. Good to be with you, my friend.
It's good to be with you. It's good to have you, and thank you very much for joining us here. I want to talk about the book here in a bit, okay? You know I'm going to talk about this book. I'm waving it into the microphone right now. I have this book in my office right now, and I'm looking at it. Let me ask you this, though. 76,000, I know the paid attendance was a lot more than that, about 90-plus. 76,000, though, and there were plenty of live videos and plenty of plenty of photos being taken of empty seats at Ohio Stadium. Was this cause for concern down in Columbus? Were there emergency meetings at the Ohio State University over this last week over that?
It's hard because everybody needs money because they got whacked by COVID last year, right? I mean, that affected every sport, every sport's bottom line, but it certainly hit college athletic department, and we know football drives everything. So I think they know what was up, and obviously COVID underlying it is a big cause of this, but I do wonder how it may affect just sort of how they view some games and ticket pricing and stuff down the line. They do have tiered pricing at Ohio State, so like Tulsa last week was much cheaper, was about three times cheaper than Oregon the week before. Mm-hmm. So they are doing that. But also, Ohio State fans, man, they're so used to winning. When the Buckeyes lose in the regular season, people get a little bit sad for a little bit. And so there are a lot of combinations happening, but a loss and COVID was not a good combo for Ohio State.
See, this is my theory behind that, because I actually had a caller call up and say this earlier about COVID. And I said, you know, that is maybe a part of the reason. It's a small reason to me, but I think it's a big excuse. Because I think that it's indicative of maybe a bigger problem that's going on with college football right now, where, you know, I cited several examples before in the show. Nick Saban complaining about the student attendance and even overall attendance at Bryant-Denny Stadium a few years ago and even over the last decade now. Clemson in their national championship run in 2018, they never had a full boat of a stadium. Now, Georgia has enjoyed very good attendance, but a lot of places around the SEC they said they've been to have had a couple of really paltry-looking upper decks. And I wonder if it's, you know, you mentioned the ticket prices. I think people are spending more money now than they ever have on all types of things. I think they want value, and I think some of those are the amenities that you do get in an NFL stadium or an NBA arena or even a major league ballpark that maybe because of the age of the stadiums, the sizes of the stadiums, just the overall traditions, maybe you don't get the same type of amenities that you would in those places.
It's an interesting theory. I think there probably is something to that. The technology of the experience obviously is a big deal for live venues now. Also, the week before against Oregon, Ohio State had some trouble with some of the ticket scanners at the gates as they went to more mobile ticketing instead of paper tickets, and I think some people got turned off by that. They had some Wi-Fi issues in the seats. They addressed that. So I do think the COVID is the underlying thing, that if something goes wrong, then COVID makes you say, I'm not sure it's worth it, right? It's not I don't think it's the primary cause for anybody. But I do think, yes, the premium experience is a bigger deal, and it will be interesting to see how college addresses that because it is a different deal than the NFL or NBA.
Doug LaMaurice joining us here on the show. So is there cause for real concern? Because a lot of people thought that Ohio State was going to go out there and beat the brakes off of Tulsa, and things didn't really go that way. It was 41-20, but you and I know it was a lot closer at the end of that game. Is there cause for concern, or is this just early season? Hey, you got a lot of young players playing. You had a young quarterback there. Maybe we should be a little bit more patient.
It's not cause for concern with the program. I think it's possible cause for concern, like, is this not their year? They've got a young quarterback. They've got a young defense. I think people are there on that. The hard thing is that the big-time programs, Ken, you know this, there's no such thing as rebuilding anymore. You know, that if you said, hey, you know, they lost their four best linebackers, they lost Justin Fields, I know they have good receivers, they lost, you know, their running back, this might be a little bit of a step back year for Ohio State, but that doesn't exist anymore. Other than their crazy year that was screwed up by the NCAA sanctions, they haven't had anything close to a rebuilding year since 2004 when they went 8-4. So in a normal world, that maybe would be what this is. But I do think when you look across college football, Oklahoma has struggled at times. Clemson has struggled. Texas A&M is losing right now. Notre Dame won today, but Notre Dame has struggled. I think when you put Ohio State in context, they should feel better about it because there's a lot of top teams that haven't looked great every week. So I do think Ohio State still has time to get it together.
Doug LaMaurice with us on the show. C.J. Stroud, he hurt his shoulder. Won't be playing tonight against Akron. Not that they need him against Akron. What did you think of him through his first couple of games? I had people who said, he just doesn't seem to have the wow factor. That was a real thing said to me, Doug. Your thoughts on C.J. Stroud and his start at Ohio State?
We did have a brief wow factor text exchange, and I will defend the wow factor people because I kind of know what they're saying, that I do think it's normal for a young quarterback. Of course, you're not going to be perfect right away. We get that. But I do think that C.J. Stroud has certainly made good plays at times. And Ryan Day has talked about working through growing pains, and all that is normal. But they have a very deep, very young, talented quarterback room. And C.J. Stroud is certainly one of those guys. He beat everybody else out. He won the job. But there were times when I watched C.J. Stroud and I kind of thought, like, what's his ceiling? When he gets through the growing pains and he is the best of what he's going to be, what is that? Is that a national championship, playoff-worthy, Heisman-level contender quarterback? And I do wonder about that. He's not a great runner, certainly not like Justin Fields, but that's okay. A lot of quarterbacks don't run like Justin Fields. He throws it pretty good, I think, but I don't know. I wonder what Kyle McCord or Quinn Ewers or other guys in this room might look like throwing it. So that's the thing. What's his ultimate ceiling as you work through the normal growing pains? I have thought that to myself.
You mentioned Quinn Ewers. I didn't. $1.4 million allegedly on that NIL. That doesn't have anything to do with it for fans when they see that number? Because people see $1.4 million and go, he's got to be really, really good.
Same. Well, I mean, you know, there are people on, like, the camp circuit and stuff, and people saying that, you know, this guy throws it as well as anybody they've seen since X, right? That this guy can throw it. So that's where this came from. I do think there's real talent behind the hype. I do believe that. Now, he got here. He reclassified. He's supposed to be a senior in high school right now. He came early so he could start getting the NIL money. And Ryan Day has said this week, like, he's not available this week. He's not ready. He didn't get here till the middle, two-thirds of camp in August. Then he had some physical issues. He sat out a week at the end of August. He's really behind. I thought if he would have had more camp in August, he would have had a chance to play this year. But sort of he was so behind when the season started, and now they're in, like, we're trying to win games mode. We can't get this kid who's supposed to be in high school ready. That's not their priority. So they have two other guys in Kyle McCord and Jack Miller. But I do think Quinn Ewers has a decent chance to be their starting quarterback next year, as I think to the future.
Let me ask you this. Clemson's been a little clunky. Alabama's been a little clunky. Ohio State, they got a loss. They've certainly been a little clunky. Do you think that, going back to COVID, you mentioned COVID, do you think that the COVID year has had anything to do with that, where these teams that are expected to reload, not rebuild, reload, that they're having problems with teams because they were given that extra year eligibility and you're playing against teams that have a lot of super seniors looking for an extra year of football to put on tape and they know what they're doing and you got a bunch of freshmen or red shirts that might not necessarily know what they're doing right now?
I think that's part of it for sure. You know, a place like Ohio State, they got help by it too. A guy like Thayer Munford on the offensive line came back.
That's a good point.
For an extra year. But yes, I do think the second tier has risen a bit, aided by some of those super seniors. But I also do think the top tier is down just to kind of, like, coincidentally, Alabama lost Mac Jones, Clemson lost Trevor Lawrence, Ohio State lost Justin Fields, and they're all working in new starting quarterbacks. Then you just throw in some stuff. You know, Bama's receivers can't be as good as they were last year. Clemson's offensive line, not as good. Ohio State's defense, not as good. So I do think it's both things happening at once, that those teams who are like the 7th through 14th best programs in the country are maybe a little up this year, and that the top 4 or 5 programs, I think, are down. Although I do think Georgia's legit, and I think Georgia should be number one right now instead of Bama. I thought that before they put it on Vanderbilt today. Their offense is coming around. I think everything Georgia's doing is real.
Boy, they just look as strong as they can be. This seems to be that year for them. Texas A&M's losing Arkansas right now, so that might, I don't know, one loss in the SEC. I mean, you can do one, you can't do two, and it'll look good right now. Of course, I want to give Arkansas a little bit of credit there. Going to the Big Ten, Doug LaMaurice joining us here on the show. Penn State's looking good. Michigan's looking better. All of a sudden, you got Michigan State. And then Minnesota loses today to Bowling Green. How good is the Big Ten overall?
I think the West might be pretty bad. I thought Wisconsin looked bad today. And if you think Wisconsin's supposed to be the second-best team in the West, and Iowa's having trouble with Colorado State right now, and they should be the best team in the West. So the West, not so good. The East, I think, is looking pretty good. I mean, I think, you know, I do think Penn State is for real. That was always all about how Sean Clifford was going to play this year, and he has played pretty well so far. Jahan Dotson, that receiver, is a stud. They have multiple defensive dudes on that side of the ball. I think Penn State's back seven is like significantly better than Ohio State's back seven. And then I think Michigan, you know, it's hard to believe in Michigan based on the past, based on what Harbaugh has done and not winning big games and that kind of thing. But they look pretty good, man. I mean, I think a lot of that is real as well. So I do think that both Penn State and Michigan, they're the teams that are closest to Ohio State in talent in the Big Ten. And I both think they're kind of figuring out who they are. And I think both Penn State and Michigan can absolutely play with the Buckeyes this year.
Where's James Franklin in 2022?
I would say USC. To me, he's the most logical candidate. I know a lot of other, you know, a lot of other names have been thrown out there. I think he does have a personality that would fit out there. To me, it's one of these things that, like, if they want him and he didn't take that, well, then are you just saying, well, I'm going to stay at Penn State forever, which is great. But if you're ever going to leave Penn State, it would be for a job like that. And I do think, you know, they're having a great year this year, so that could definitely change things. If they make the playoff, then it's like maybe everybody loves each other in Happy Valley and he stays. But, you know, I don't know that the fan base has always appreciated him, and so I think it could be an amicable separation, and then you find a guy like Matt Campbell or Luke Fickell in State College, and maybe everybody wins. So I would still think Franklin at USC makes sense, but show me where Penn State is in January, and that might change.
Where's Ryan Day in 2025?
25, I think, still here. He got the head job, like, before he turned 40.
Yeah.
He has a young family. I think he can make a run here for a decade at Ohio State, recruit at a high level, try to win a national championship, keep this going. He grew up in New Hampshire. He grew up on the Patriots. He was a college guy first, but has spent time in the NFL. I think eventually he takes an NFL shot, but I don't think he's in a hurry to do it. So I would say still 25, I'd still say Ohio State. 29, that might be when I'm thinking he could be in the NFL.
Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. I'll ask you about the book here in a second. See, you know, I always hear the words of Barry Switzer. I've mentioned this ad nauseum on this show. You ready? Where Barry Switzer was on our station in Cleveland a couple of years ago and was asked about Lincoln Riley going to the NFL. And he said he had spoken to Lincoln Riley and said, listen, there's a lot of good jobs in the NFL. There's a certain few jobs that are just better than any job you may get in the NFL. Oklahoma's one of them. I think Ohio State's another one of them. So I think it's going to be very tough. A lot of people are like, oh, Ryan Day will be in the NFL maybe 2022, maybe 2023. Well, that's good. That ups the price for Ryan Day. But, like, if you go and you get fired in the NFL, are you going to go to a job as good as Ohio State? I don't think you would.
No, I think I don't think he would leave because it's a better job. I think he would maybe leave eventually because you got to scratch that itch. Can I win there? Yeah. I've won here. I wonder what I would do there. You know, he worked with Matt Rhule, who left Baylor to go to the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers are 3-0 right now. I'm sure he's getting a good read on what that transition is like, what's better about it, what's worse. But, of course, Matt Rhule at the Baylor job. Baylor's nowhere close to the Ohio State job. So I don't think it's because he would be looking for something better. I think it would be because I might have a regret if I never test myself in the pros, especially maybe once I've succeeded at the highest level here. It's almost one of those things. I just think, Ken, I don't know if you agree, like for a guy like Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day, for those fan bases, I think like if they win national championships, I almost think it increases their chances of going to the NFL, right? They're like, hey, I've
yes,
done it here.
I agree.
What else?
Yep.
And so you want the national championship, but it increases the chances of losing your coach. So, I just think Ryan Day is not in a hurry. He got the job so young, he does not have to be in a hurry. He can go to the NFL when he's 52, and his kids have grown up without having to move from Columbus and that kind of stuff. So I will be surprised if he doesn't ever take an NFL shot, but I just think it's not going to be for a while.
How old's Urban? 57? 58?
Urban, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, that sounds very familiar. Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. Tell us about the book. The foreword is by Ryan Day. It's called The Road to Ohio State. Incredible twists and improbable turns along the Buckeye Trail, along the Buckeyes recruiting trail. Tell me about the book.
17 chapters, 17 individual stories about how great Buckeyes chose Ohio State. It's not the 17 greatest Buckeyes, because sometimes your story is not that interesting. But it has guys like the Boses are in there, Eddie George, Keith Byers, Wyatt Davis, Darren Lee, Michael Jenkins from the Holy Buckeye catch, and then Travion Henderson, who ran for almost 300 yards or whatever it was, 250 last week for Ohio State as a freshman. He's in there as well. So it goes from guys who were recruited by Woody Hayes to guys who were recruited by Ryan Day, and the stories of how they were recruited, the other schools that went after them, and why in the end they chose to come to Columbus.
You got Cornelius Green's story in here, too. You mentioned guys recruited by Woody Hayes. There's good stuff in this. Get the book, college football fan, Ohio State fan or not. It's a good book. I like the book. I like Doug Lamorese. Find it on Amazon, everywhere it is. The Road to Ohio State, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Buckeyes Recruiting Trail. Doug, thank you, buddy. You know I love you.
Always great to be with you, Ken.
Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com. Author, college football writer, Buckeye writer, one of the very finest. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, a question of my own patriotism. Ken Carman, CBS Sports Radio. Essig, I got a couple of questions for you. First question is, how is Eastern Michigan University called the Eagles and not the Emus? Answer me.
I have no idea. Bad management?
Do you think they'd have higher attendance if they were called the Emus and not the Eagles?
I mean, I would go to a game that was the Emus. I mean, that's up there with, like, I'm a fan of the Staten Island Pizza Rats, a double-A baseball team, just for the sake of that name is amazing.
Yeah. EMU, home of the Emus. Who doesn't like that team? Who doesn't like that name? 855-212-4CBS. Next question. Ryder Cup started this weekend. I'm not a fan of the Ryder Cup now. I've never been a fan of the Ryder Cup ever. I feel like the dude in Green Eggs and Ham. Does that make me a bad American? Does that make me unpatriotic? 855-212-4CBS. I saw the whole start at Whistling Straits. And everybody's chanting USA. And it's 6 a.m. And the sun's barely up. And they built this whole thing around the number one tee box. It looks like a football stadium. And the place is packed. And they got a tunnel, and the cameras are falling around the tunnel like it's NFL films or we're about to kick off. It's amazing. Like, I thought Big John Henderson was going to come out and get slapped in the face. And then they go out there, and it's time to tee off, and you can chant USA all you want. You can sing Sweet Caroline as drunk as you want to be at 6 a.m., but you got to be quiet in the backswing. And it's like, eh. Like, I get, if I'm watching the Olympics, I'll get worked into a shoot during the Olympics. I don't watch javelin and dressage and all the other stuff, but I want the Americans to do well. But when I watch the Ryder Cup, it's just different. I see one group of millionaires playing against another group of millionaires, and I like golf. I like watching golf. I like the PGA. I like watching the Masters and the whole thing. I don't have time to golf. I was only able to get two rounds in so far this year, and I think that's going to be able to be it. But I like golf, and I'm not even good in it, but I enjoy the game. But the Ryder Cup is a big, fat no for me. And I'm just going to ask you flat out right now, Essig. Does that make me unpatriotic? Does that make me less of an American that I don't care for the Ryder Cup?
I'll tell you right now, I personally do not give less of a care.
Okay, I thought you were going to cuss at me for a second. I went, oh boy, this is good. I thought you were going to say, I don't give a you-know-what.
I was thinking about it, and I put on the mental block for a second there. But no, I honestly, I'm good for playing a round of golf. I'm terrible at it, and I'm young enough that for me, golf is primarily just McIlroy and your Tiger Woods, all of the like major players. Outside of that, I don't pay attention to it at all. Yes, it's cool, but I mean, for me, I'll just check the stats afterwards. That's kind of where I am with golf in general. So no, you're not un-American by not following the Ryder Cup.
I'm not un-American.
Not un-American.
Somebody called me Vladimir Putin yesterday. Your thoughts?
I think that that person might need to lay off the sauce a little bit.
It was 8 a.m.
I still maintain my statement.
I'm sure. Who's on the European Cup? Who's on the European Ryder Cup team?
I don't know. I honestly have not been paying. When you were saying I wasn't paying attention, I am so much less paying attention than you are. So yeah.
All right, I'm looking at this from CBS Sports. Here we go. I got to turn the volume off because you know the volume's going to go. And I know we got McCarthy coming up here in a second. Speaking of un-American activities, a man with the last name McCarthy is about to do the update. Hold on. So we got Shane Lowry and Tyrell Hatton. John Rahm is a fantastic Spaniard. Everybody loves John Rahm. Sergio Garcia plays a little slow. Victor Hovland. People like Victor Hovland. Rory McIlroy. You just said it yourself. You like Rory McIlroy, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you like Rory McIlroy. I mean, seriously, what is there for me to hate about the European team? Ian Poulter. I see Ian Poulter on commercials here in the States during golf events. Tommy Fleetwood. If you just looked at Tommy Fleetwood, you think Tommy Fleetwood is from Columbus, Georgia. Tommy Fleetwood looks like a country music singer right now. He looks like he's about to sell out an arena tonight in Nashville, Tennessee. Who looks like more of a country singer, Eric Church or Tommy Fleetwood?
I mean, it's I just pulled up a picture. It's got to be Tommy.
Tell me Tommy Fleetwood doesn't look like a guy from the American South.
100%. I met Eric Church, this guy.
I'm supposed to hate Tommy Fleetwood? Look at him. Wait, you've met Eric Church?
Yes, sir.
Wow, congratulations on all your success.
All the minimal success.
How am I supposed to hate the Euros? I don't want to tweet it because I'm going to get killed. Ask me.
How are you supposed to hate the
I don't know. I don't hate the Euros. And the American team, I got to tell you, I find there to be much more unlikable people on the United States team than there would be on the European team. One of their names is Harris English. That guy, that already sounds European. English, that comes from England. Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's a likable guy. Bryson DeChambeau. Guys, you're really rooting for Bryson DeChambeau over Tommy Fleetwood. Really? Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know I'm right. I think in your heart of hearts, as much as we want to Team USA is a great chant. I love USA. I love chanting USA. It's a fabulous thing to do. It's fun. But you're really pulling for Bryson DeChambeau over Tommy Fleetwood? Really? 855-212-4CBS. Am I un-American if I don't like the Ryder Cup? And you'll be mad. You'll eventually understand. And $344 well spent. But I could have done better. Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio, right now, it's the latest sports update. With not Joseph McCarthy, not Eugene McCarthy, no, Pete McCarthy. Final segment of the day, speak now, forever hold your peace, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. There are some people who are agreeing with me. There's a lot of people who are disagreeing with me. Somebody said I need reprogrammed. I'm only observing. I like golf. I'm a fan of the game. Nah, somebody just texted me. I'm a communist, okay? Listen, I'm a fan of America. Born here, raised here, will die here. I love America. I love America. I'm not even going to say but, because I love America. However, if we're talking about likability, Team USA has a little bit more. Jordan Spieth has the outward personality of a hefty bag. Brooks Koepka? Brooks Koepka's got good personality, actually. I kind of like Brooks Koepka. Tony Finau's a nice guy. I don't know much about Harris English. I'm sorry. Scotty Scheffler, I don't know much about him. Dustin Johnson, there's a backstory. Polina Gretzky, okay, not doing too bad. Colin Morikawa, okay, there's nice. There, you know what? I'm gonna say there's nice guys here. It's just Bryson DeChambeau rubs me the wrong way. I look at that Saturday pairing, 158, Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau with Victor Hovland and Tommy Fleetwood. How am I not rooting? Maybe not rooting. But there is part of me where I'm much quieter if I have a rooting interest, which I really don't. But if I did, how do I not kind of sort of pull for Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland? You tell me. Victor Hovland seems like a fine enough guy. I don't really talk that much about him. Tommy Fleetwood looks like 90% of my family members. Google image Tommy Fleetwood. If you're done driving, Google image Tommy Fleetwood. The guy is from the United Kingdom. Tommy Fleetwood looks like he's from Rome, Georgia. He looks like every single country singer you ever saw at every single country music festival you ever went to. I'm looking at a picture of him right now in one of his Nike golf hats, and it's from the Golf Channel. Q&A Gray, welcome back, Tommy Fleetwood. How was quarantine? This picture, which there's like a reflection behind him in like a mirrored image, this looks like a album cover of his latest country music album. He looks like he's about to walk out on stage at the Grand Ole Opry right now. You're telling me I'm supposed to dislike that guy? Can't do it. Just because he's playing for the Euros? Hell, we never even win this thing. And we lost like four in a row, three in a row or something. We gave up 12 points on one Sunday. They make documentaries about it. And I go, yay, the rich guys beat the other rich guys. That's awesome. Hey, I got nothing against money. But let's not make that big of a damn deal about this. This is the 1% going after the other 1%. Hell, Brooks Koepka, they said he was a bad teammate. He didn't want to pair up with anybody. It is an individual sport. Flat out, Tommy Fleetwood looks like my father back in his 30s. My dad could grow a beard. My dad had long hair out from under a hat because he didn't have any up top. He kind of looked like Hulk Hogan. Tommy Fleetwood reminds me of how my father looked back in the 90s. Bryson DeChambeau looks like he is about to deny my son entry to a prestigious university. Bryson DeChambeau looks like he's about to fire me. Bryson DeChambeau looks like he's about to turn down my application to a country club that I didn't even apply for. Bryson DeChambeau looks like Craig T. Nelson's son in the Skulls. Have I said enough about Bryson DeChambeau there, Matthew?
I think so.
Thank you.
Oh, and real quick, when we're talking about the country comparisons for Fleetwood.
Please, yes.
Thomas Rhett.
Oh, my God. Well done. See? Perfect. And Matthew knows country music. He's met one of country music's major superstars in Eric Church. Tommy Fleetwood, you take one look at Tommy Fleetwood and tell me that that guy has not distilled illegal liquor. It's impossible to do. Bryson DeChambeau, very blue blood. Bryson DeChambeau looks like he owns many properties. Tommy Fleetwood looks like he has committed armed robbery in many of those properties. I'm more of a Tommy Fleetwood fan. Sorry, folks. I love America. I know that we have flaws, just like every other country in the world. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else but right here, right now, in this country. I love this place. I love this land. I love these people. For better or for worse, I love this place. But I'm not going to sit there and whoop it up and get all fake excited over the Ryder Cup. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. 855-212-4CBS. You know, you might be mad when it first happens. I think that you'd eventually understand. I asked Joe Reedy about this earlier in the show from the Associated Press in L.A. He said he would understand. I didn't get a chance to ask Doug LaMaurice about this, and I should have. I was watching the games earlier today, and I feel so terrible that I mentioned P.J. Fleck as an example after he just lost to Bowling Green. Can't believe I spent an hour doing that, and he lost to Bowling Green. I think you'd be mad at first. I think you'd understand. We are in an era now where there is so much more understanding than there used to be, and rightfully so. I don't like doing that. It didn't make me feel good. I think there has to be a time where, and I don't know where that time is, and I don't know where that line is. I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't know yet. I got kids, and it's the whole thing of, hey, my son's, he's 6 years old. He don't know any better. And if I make him play a sport, even though I don't want to make him play a sport, but if I make him play a sport he has to, or if he wants to play a sport and then turns around and wants to quit, I can deny him that and say, no, you're going to at least finish off the season. Because you'd be quote-unquote quitting on your teammates. Well, it's a far cry from my own children, because we always dig from our own personal experiences, to what we see in college football, where Charlie Brewer leaves the University of Utah, or Utah University, whichever way you say it, I'm not sure. Sorry, Utes, I apologize. He leaves after 3 starts. And a decade ago, or maybe even less, a lot of us sit there and call the guy a quitter. And now with the transfer portal, there's very, and I don't know this for a fact, I assume now that there was probably a mature conversation with Kyle Whittingham, who's been there forever and knows what he's doing. There was probably a very mature conversation between he and Kyle Whittingham about what his future was at Utah, what Utah was intending to do in their future, and what he was intending to do in his future. And they probably came to an amicable split that he needs to bow out for the rest of the season, save his eligibility, enter the transfer portal, and find a different opportunity somewhere else. That's very mature. That's very on the up and up. And I'm happy about that. I don't know the situations behind that. And 10 years ago, I would have done it, absolutely guilty as charged. Other people, you're quitting on your team, you're a quitter. We don't know the ins and outs of this. Now we don't have to do this anymore. We can be upfront and honest about it. But if the players are able to do it, what stops a coach? Now, I used P.J. Fleck as an example about it earlier, and it ends up being a very dumb example in real time because, again, they had lost to Bowling Green at home, and they were a heavy favorite. They lost 14-10 earlier up in Minnesota. But at USC, you're going for a national championship. That's what you're hoping to restore. At a place like Minnesota, you kind of should know who you are. In Minnesota, in the very best of times, if everything breaks their way, if Ohio State's not on that schedule, if they win all their out-of-conference games, if the ball bounces their way, if they win the turnover battle or they create more turnovers like Indiana did last year, maybe that's it, where it seems to be almost fluky from year to year and coaches say they never rely on it, then maybe you have a 10-2 season. You still lose a couple of Big Ten games. Even the very best, the elite of the elite, you're looking at best 10-2. USC, it's a different animal. Why couldn't I, or if P.J. Fleck was excited about that job and offered that opportunity, why couldn't he go? For James Franklin, it wouldn't make sense. Talk to Doug Lamorese at Cleveland.com. He said that James Franklin is his pick for USC. And talking about James Franklin right now, it doesn't make sense. His team is one of the teams in the driver's seat in the Big Ten. He does have a great recruiting class, but so does USC still. But that's focusing on next year. This year, he could still maybe get to the playoff. You got to go through the Big Ten. You got to win in the Big Ten. Got to go through Ohio State in the regular season as well. But they look like this could be a year where they very well could do so. Looks tougher than it was before. Or looks easier for Penn State than it was before. Doesn't make much sense for James Franklin. But for a guy like P.J. Fleck, certainly after this loss, it makes all the sense in the world. What about a guy like Eric Bieniemy? Eric Bieniemy's in the pros right now. And one of the major talking points about Eric Bieniemy is that he's been too successful. Whether or not you want to believe that, that's up to you. I've certainly turned a side eye to it myself. But he's been too successful, that his team has gone too deep in the playoffs. And I ask, what more does Eric Bieniemy have to prove? Not to you, not to USC or any other job that's out there. I got to tell you, what does he have to prove or what does he still owe to Andy Reid? With this season, what does he still have left that he owes? Nothing. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to 2 straight. Does anybody believe in this? This might demean Eric Bieniemy in some way, but I don't think it does. Does anybody believe that Kansas City's offense would be listless and Patrick Mahomes would somehow turn into a pumpkin or any of that matter if Eric Bieniemy were to leave the Kansas City offense? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think we're going to see a time someday where, and if we're going to accept it with players, and we have, because they're adults and they're making big boy decisions, grown-up decisions, then I think we need to do it with players, or we need to do it with coaches. Quinn Ewers at Ohio State, he's a backup's backup's backup. He's making $1.4 million, allegedly, $1.4 million on an endorsement deal over the course of 3 years. That's big boy money. That type of money makes him a head coach in the MAC in terms of money. If they can leave halfway through the season, a player, or early in the season, why can't a coach? If we say we're as open to this and honest and upfront and mature as we say it we are, it only makes sense that a coach should be able to do it at some point. 855-212-4CBS for Carrington Harrison coming up next. You know, I spent my father spent $344 earlier this week. It was in the Canton repository. I still say it was money well spent. It cost a hell of a lot of money to tell people that in 65 years, somebody was a 1980 Canton women's champion in bowling. Person was an avid reader. Person enjoyed puzzles. They were a caregiver working for the Canton Crisis Intervention Center for 11 years before illness forced that person to retire. They had three grandchildren. They had a husband for 39 years. $344 well spent. But I think I can do a better job of that. I think today, where it will come out in the Sunday paper, tomorrow I should say, but for however long I should live, I can be able to tell that story better. To tell that story through thought, to be able to tell that story through humor, to be able to tell that story through experience. Earlier this week, we lost my mother, who lived 65 years on this earth. We spent $344 to tell the story to the people in her community. I promise now I'll tell our community, and I will tell America and honor her memory through her story for the rest of my life. Have a wonderful weekend, friends. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS.
Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.